We've been talking about increase and talking about different means of increase, increasing in our knowledge, increasing in numbers and different increases that we've spoken about throughout the year. And this evening, continuing that and thinking about increase, but maybe from a little bit of a different way. And that is that we are going to look at these verses which tell us really what to do with our increase. There's no doubt that we have been greatly blessed in this land that we live in. We are a very blessed people, and we live in a country that is filled with bounty. And I'm not saying there's no poor people. Obviously, there are. But relatively speaking, most of our population is very well off relative to the rest of the world. And so we are very blessed in material things and food. It's also true that we've seen increase in our lives and in our church this year, and we're thankful for that. And with these thoughts in mind, these verses and thinking about missions as well, this month, I thought these verses really fit in well with the theme and with what to do with our increase. That's the title of the message this evening, is what are you doing with the increase? Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Verse 9 again says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What are you doing with the increase? Let's pray together. Lord, again, we're thankful for this portion of Scripture tonight. For, Lord, we recognize that we have been blessed, and we do have substance, and we do have increase in our lives individually and as a church. And, Lord, we are very blessed, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see what we need to do with our increase of our lives and our church. And, Lord, I pray that this message would be that which you'd use to speak to us each one. And, Lord, that we leave here tonight with things to ponder. And, Lord, just rejoicing in the fact that you have met with us this evening. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It says at the beginning of verse 9, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. What is it to honor? Honor God is the first part of the message. So the meaning of honor is the thought of glorify or promote. Honor is esteem due or paid to worth, high estimation, reverence or veneration. So we think this word honor is esteeming, it's glorifying, it's promoting. And the Bible says honor the Lord. The same word honor is used of parents, of children towards their parents in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? We're very familiar with that. Children, obey your parents is what is said in Ephesians chapter 6, referring back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians remind us it's the first commandment with promise. And so it's a term used in that way, that children are to honor their parents, they're to revere them, they're to honor them, they're to respect them, they're to hold them in high estimation. And God also tells us in the Bible to honor others. It says in Romans 12, verse 10, in honor preferring one another. And so just as a general situation, not just children to parents, and not just people towards God, as we'll get to in a moment, but in a general way, we're to honor other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a chapter that deals with the church, referring to the church as a body. And it says that those parts which lack, upon them we bestow more abundant honor. And so we're to honor those parts that lack. We're to promote them. We're to lift them up, to help them. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, we read that servants were to bestow honor upon their masters. Servants, honor your masters. And so we're reminded of that relationship that we have with our employee-employer relationship. There's an honor due to those who we report to, as it were. There's an honor due there, and that is what God says that we ought to do. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You ladies will like this one. Us men have to dig deep a little bit maybe and think about this. But the Bible says that husbands are to honor their wives. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, the Bible says. And so husbands are to honor their wives. They're to promote them. They're to lift them up. They're to respect them and hold them in high estimation. And then, of course, 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We think of our society, and there's different levels of society, and ultimately there's government. We don't have a king. We have a queen ultimately over Canada. But the point is that we are to honor those in authority. And the Bible expresses it that way in other places, that honor those who have the authority over you. And so there's an honor that is due in that case as well. But our text here says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Something that God deserves is the honor that we can and should give Him. 1 Timothy 6, again, verse 16 says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Honor and power belong to God. We're to give God honor. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor. And of course, we also realize that the Bible says that because Jesus humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The Lord Jesus deserves to be honored. Revelation repeats numerous times of the honor that is given to God in heaven. And so our text tells us to honor the Lord. That's what honor means, is to promote, to revere, to hold in high estimation. That's the meaning of honor. But what about the means of our honor? How do we honor God? How do we bring honor to Him? How do we promote Him? How do we lift Him up? Well, there's numerous ways we can do that. In Psalm 66, verse 2, it says, sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Our singing, even if we don't have that tuneful, nice, pretty voice that other people like to maybe hear, when we sing, make that joyful noise unto the Lord, we are singing forth the honor of His name. We're lifting Him up. We're praising Him. And isn't that what a lot of our songs do? If somebody came in here and heard us singing, a lot of people would hear the songs that say, glory to God and victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And they talk about glorifying God, which is honoring Him. In a general way, we can honor God with our words. And Psalm 71, verse 8 says, let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. The words that we speak honor God. They should do. I mean, they don't always, but we should make it a point to have our words bring honor to God. But here in our text, it gives a means of honoring God that's a very specific one, and it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, I know what it's like as a guy walking into a jewelry store. It's like, reach for the wallet and look down and, you know, oh no, here we go, right? And sometimes that's the way it is in church. Oh no, the pastor's talking about money. Quick, reach for the wallet, get the purse, zip it up, lock and key, right? But that's what the Bible says here. We need to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. What is our substance? Our substance is that which we have. Our substance includes our money, but it's not exclusively just our money. Our substance is our possessions are our substance. Our cars are part of our substance. Our houses are part of our substance. Our food that we have in our cupboards is part of our substance. It's those things that we possess. And God says that we are to honor Him with our substance. We are a people who are quick to say, if I had more money, boy, would I ever love to give to that cause. Or whatever, I would give so much. If I could give more, if I had more, I would like to give to that mission. I would like to support that mission. I would like to give to that cause. I would like to. But the Bible doesn't say, honor the Lord, you know, if you get some more that you wish for. God says, honor the Lord with your substance, with what you have right now. God expects us to use what we have, not what we wish that we had. And that's a question, isn't it? What are we doing with what we have? Not, if I had more, what would I do with it? But what are we doing with what we have? Remember what God says often throughout the Bible. He said it to Moses, and when Moses was reluctant to go, as we referred to this morning, and making all kinds of excuses, and he says, how will I know that the Lord sent me, and how will the people believe me? What did God say to Moses? Moses, what is in your hand? And he said, it was a rod. He said, throw down the rod. Of course, you know, it turned into a snake. And then he picked it up. He said, God said, seize it by the tail. And he did, and it turned to a rod again. But God said to him, what is in thine hand? What do you have, Moses? And God wanted to use what Moses had. The question is, are we using what we have to honor God? To honor God with our possessions is to use them in a way that He would use them. Honor the Lord with thy substance. 1 Timothy chapter 6, again, several verses from there this evening, but, and maybe we should have turned there, but it says in verses 17 and 18, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That part we say, yeah, I like that. God gives us richly all things to enjoy, trust in Him. Yep, I like that. But the next verse, verse 18, says that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. God says that with the things that He's blessed us with, we need to be ready to distribute them, willing to communicate. Communicate is not just speaking of our mouths, having a conversation, but this communication is being willing to give of what we have to other people. And God says that we need to be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. It's like we're to be channels of His blessings, letting it flow to other people. And when we think about it that way, that we are to be channels of God's blessings, that means don't scrimp, because we're just a channel. And there's no end to the supply. God is a supply, and He wants it to be used for His glory, and we're just a vessel. We're just a channel, and there's no end to the supply. Allow God to use us and let the things that He gives us flow through our hands. Wisely, of course. Our food in our cupboards is ours to enjoy, but it should be something that we're willing to share as well. You ever have something, maybe you get your favorite meal and somebody wants a piece of it? Oh, no, seriously, why didn't you order that off the menu yourself, right? You go to a restaurant and somebody says, can I have a bite? My wife's family says, can I have a bite? Seriously, I ordered this because I like it. And you want a bite, you got to take a bite of mine? But that's what the Bible says here, not to your wife. You don't have to share with, no, I'm just kidding. But we need to be willing to share, right? God says that we are to honor Him with our substance, that which we have. Our home is part of our substance. Whether we rent it or whether we own it, we say we're paying for this. This is my place to live. But it ought to be a place where others are made to feel at home. Yes, it's a place we enjoy being. It's a place where we can be ourselves and just put up our feet sometimes and relax when there aren't too many things on the honey-do list to get finished. And we say, well, I want to just enjoy my place, but also it needs to be a place where fellowship is had with brothers and sisters in Christ. And where people are told about the Lord and the gospel is shared, because isn't that what the Lord would do with His home if He was living here and He invited somebody to His home? He would invite people in and have them over to tell them about Himself. I've told the story before, but when my wife and I were first married, we bought a little condominium apartment in Kitchener, and it was supposed to be an investment to get us into a foothold in the real estate market, and it turned out to be a lead anchor instead of a foothold, because property values dropped right after we bought it. And we ended up stuck there. And, you know, it gets frustrating, and we kind of felt like, boy, we're stuck here and we can't move on, and we owe more than this place is worth, and now what are we going to do? You say, boy, if we had a bigger house, we could have people over and so on. And we just came to the point where we said, well, we're here anyway. God has, for whatever reason, allowed us to be stuck here. And so, therefore, we're just going to use it anyway. And we started to have people over. We even right at the very beginning, we rented a place where we met with the church at Kitchener Baptist there where we were going, and people took turns in having Bible study. So we had people over at our house, packed the place out, but that's okay. We had a missionary family over, and you think, well, a little two-bedroom apartment with the little eat-in kitchen and so on, and a missionary family. We were brave. They had 5 children, ages 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Literally, that's how old they were. 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 when they stayed at our house. And the parents. And, it was like, wow, are we crazy? Well, you know, they lived in a 20-foot trailer, traveling around all over. So our little two-bedroom apartment had way more space than a 20-foot trailer. But it was just, we came to the point where you say, well, you know, if I had more, then I would use what I had. But God says, no, honor the Lord with what you have, with your substance. Use that to honor Him. Our cars ought to be used to not only for our own enjoyment and for our own purposes, but we can use them to take people to church or to go and visit people or to perhaps take food to people who can't get out or to help people move or to whatever. I mean, we can use those things either just for ourselves, or we can say, I'm going to honor the Lord with my substance, with what I have, what He's allowed me to have. I want to use it as He would use it. And we can use it to honor Him. And so to honor the Lord with our substance includes our possessions, but also, of course, it includes our finances. The tithe is the Lord's, the Bible tells us in Leviticus 27, verse 30. When the offering plates pass, we honor God when we give to Him monetarily. That's just part of God's plan. It's part of God's program. He said, on the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. We come to the house of God on the first day of the week, and it's an opportunity for us to be involved in honoring God with our substance. By giving our tithe, by giving an offering, perhaps to support missions, perhaps for the building fund, whatever it may be, but we say, this I want to be used of God. And we give it to God, and it's to promote God. It's saying, this is for the Lord, and I'm setting aside for Him because I want to lift Him up. I want to glorify Him. We have so much substance in our land and our possession. Are we using it to honor God? The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. But then He goes on to say, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So it's not just what we have, but the increase that we anticipate or that we get. Honor Him with what He blesses us with. I'm sure you're not much different than me in this way, that you like increase. You know, when it comes to increase if you get a little note in your paycheck and it says, as of such and such a date, your pay is increased. Doesn't happen very often anymore, but you say, that is nice. I like that. I like getting more. I like an increase on my paycheck. I like it when people give me a gift, and I mean, it's a blessing. You say, wow, this is nice. That was a blessing. And sometimes people give you monetary gifts and so on. Maybe you reach into a pocket and find you haven't worn it for a while and it has money. And that never happens to me, but my wife finds money all over the place in places that she hides it away in places. I always know where every dime that she allows me to have is. So I never find it where I'm not expecting it. But she sometimes finds it. But, you know, when you find that and you say, wow, this is great. But, you know, sometimes I find it harder to give from the increase than I do from my substance. Because sometimes we get the idea that, well, you know what, I worked that overtime, and so therefore, this little bit of extra money that I have, this is mine. I don't want to have to share it. That person gave me this, and they gave it to me, so it's for me. But God says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Thou shalt truly tithe of all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 14:22. He says we're to honor Him with the first fruits of all our increase, to give Him off the top, as it were, to put Him first. He says to honor Him with the first fruits of all our increase. Not just, well, you know what? Yeah, I'll give God some of that. Because that, I really didn't like it anyway. You ever had a child give you a candy? You say, oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you so much. And they said, yeah, I don't like that kind anyway. Isn't that the way we sometimes are with God? Oh, yeah, I'll give that for you, Lord. I didn't like it anyway. I'll give that to so-and-so because I didn't really care for it. So, I'll give that. But God says, honor me with all your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now we say, well, that's not fair. That's ours. We earned that. We deserve that. We were given that. But Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18 remind us that when God says to the children of Israel, when you get to the land and you see all the plenty and you're enjoying all the increase that I give you, remember that the Lord is the one who gives you power to get wealth. Because God knows He knows our nature, doesn't He? He knows us better than we know ourselves, and He knew the children of Israel when they got to the land. God gave them freely the land, but he said to them, listen, when you get there, don't you get thinking that you earned that all by your power. It's God that gives you the power to get wealth. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. As a church, we must also remember these principles as well, mustn't we? Now, this building that God has blessed us with, it's not just for us, but it's for us to use to reach the people of the world, the people of the city, the people of the area. It's for people to come into. See, but when people come in, we bring kids in on the bus, and we go out and we invite kids to come in, and they make a mess of the place. And people come in and they leave their snotty Kleenexes on the pews, and then the garbage pails get full and the doors get banged because people are opening and closing them. And yeah, that's right. That's what happens to buildings when they're being used. But God said that's what we're supposed to do with it, right? We're supposed to use it. We're supposed to use the buildings for His glory, this place. Where there are no oxen, the crib is clean, the Bible tells us, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. We could keep places a lot cleaner. You could keep your house a lot cleaner if your husband and your kids didn't live there, right? But I think, hopefully, you're glad that your husband and kids are there. And, you know, there's increase there. It's a joyful thing. And this, we could say, you know, this is our building. We want to keep it nice. And that's true. That's good. But we also need to remember this is God's building, and we want to use the increase that God has given us for the purpose that He gave it to us for, and that's to honor Him and to bring people in. The increase is not for us to sit on and enjoy, but to further His work. The increased attendance isn't just so we can say, wow, praise the Lord, we had a good attendance this morning. That's great. We're enjoying seeing the building filled up. That's an opportunity to say, praise the Lord, more people are coming in. Therefore, we'll ultimately, Lord willing, have more laborers to do more work to go out and reach more people. That's honoring the Lord with our increase. Our increased offerings mean more missionaries to support, more tracts to buy, more money to spend on bringing people in and inviting people and reaching people with the gospel. To honor God is to glorify Him and lift Him up. And one of the ways He's given us to do that is by our substance and by our increase. It isn't unreasonable that He expects that because He's given us everything in the first place. And not only that, but we looked at honoring God. Now the second verse is talking about honored by God. See, the first verse is our part. We need to honor the Lord with our substance, so the first fruits of all our increase. The second part is God's part. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We honor God, but we recognize He also honors us. He rewards our obedience. There are promises associated with honoring God. That's not why we should do it. God doesn't say, honor me and I'll turn around and I'll honor you. But He says, if you do honor me, I will honor you. I'm not a health and wellness prosperity gospel preacher that says you give to God and then all your problems will be washed away and all your troubles will be wiped away and you'll have thousands of dollars in the bank. But I do believe that God does bless His servants. I don't believe they're spared from all the problems of this life. Our lives indicate that they're not spared from the problems of this life. And the scriptures would corroborate that as well. We look at the life of Job, of course, as one who's very prominent. We think of the Apostle Paul, who lived a very God-honoring life, but he faced many trials. He said, all the things that have happened to my life, in my life, he said, and he lists a whole pile of them there. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, and he talks about a whole list of things that he faced. He wasn't immune from problems, but yet very clearly his life honored God. I think Jesus expresses it best in Matthew 5:45, where he says, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. But having said those things, the Bible says here and other places that when we honor God with our substance and with our increase, God does turn around and he blesses in other ways our lives. God does promise bounty as a result of honoring him here. He says, your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses will be bursting out with new wine. We may think that we give of our wealth to God and others on his behalf will have less. And that may be the case. We may say, if I give, I won't have enough for my own barns to be full. If I give, my own presses won't be full enough to even have enough juice in it for me. But look over at Proverbs chapter 11, and we see that God's math is different than our math. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. There is that scattereth and yet increases. That's backwards. That doesn't make sense. If you scatter, you decrease. But God says, no, you scatter, you will increase. But if you withhold more than is meat, more than is necessary, more than is reasonable, that tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. You say, no, the tightwad, they'll be the one that's made fat, right? They'll have more of themselves. But no, God says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Compare those verses and think about the one in Luke chapter 12 who said, my crops have brought forth greatly. I have much goods laid up for many years. I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be which thou hast? God says if that, in principle, that man should have given of some of his wealth rather than trying to keep it all for himself. Proverbs 19:17 says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. And Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. And 2 Corinthians 6, or 9, verses 6 to 11 says that he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And so we recognize that God says here that when we honor him, we give back to God. With our substance, with our first fruits of our increase, that God will bless us with increase. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, as Philippians 4:19. That was to a church who was giving of their, in their poverty, they were giving that the needs of the Apostle Paul might be met. And Paul said to them, by the promise of God, that God would supply for them because they gave of themselves that his needs would be met. They were honoring God by doing so. God has a way of meeting our needs when we honor him with our substance and with our increase. Sometimes we can't see how it will work, but he is faithful to do it. And I've seen it over and over again in my own life. Not that I am rich, not that I have thousands of dollars by any means. But I've seen God work in my life. Sometimes he blesses me with a surprise gift of some kind. Say, wow, where did that come from? Wow, that was unexpected. Sometimes he rewards us with a great deal on something that we need. Just yesterday, we were helping somebody, and on the way home, gas was $1.17.9 at one gas station. We were just driving by. It's like, wow, where did that come from? Every other gas station was $1.21. Well, I don't know how long it was on sale for $1.17.9 for, but that was a pretty good deal. And I said, praise the Lord. God blesses us. Not always in monetary ways that we can see, not always in gifts being poured back in, as it were. But God honors. And God does that because we have honored Him with our substance and with our increase. But don't just look for the temporal things, because that's pretty short-sighted, really, isn't it? That's the way our minds are geared. We say, well, I gave, so where's what I get back? But it's not all in the temporal realm. In Philippians 4, again, in verses 15 to 18, before verse 19, with the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippian church, said that they had given to his necessity. And he said, I'm not expecting anything. It's not because I want. But he said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. They were allowing Paul to go on with his ministry and give more time to his ministry. And in so doing for that, they had a part in his ministry. So they were giving. And spiritually speaking, they had a part in the ministry that he was doing. And in that way, their barns were being filled with plenty. Their presses were bursting forth with new wine. A part in those souls saved in the places where Paul had gone. And so as we give to honor the Lord with our missions giving and our giving to the church, when souls are saved through the tracts that are bought, or when souls are saved on the mission field because we've been able to give, that's a blessing that is put onto our account. That's a blessing that's not a monetary thing. It's far greater than a monetary thing. In Malachi 3, verses 10 and 11, God said to the children of Israel, He said, prove me bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open unto thee the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing such as you're not able to receive it. He didn't say, I'm going to pour you out thousands of dollars. He's saying, I'm going to pour you out a blessing such as you're not able to receive it. Great blessing. And He said that the devourer would not devour their crops. And so there would be a blessing of God in return for them honoring Him. Heaven and eternity will be a time of reward for honoring God. It'll be a great time, won't it, when we get to heaven and see the rewards handed out for those who faithfully honored God with their substance and with their increase. And some maybe said, well, I want to see it all now. And others just said, I'm just going to give to God because that's what's right to do. And God says, you're laying up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. A treasure that's for all of eternity. Jesus talked about giving a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple and not losing the reward. Didn't mean that there'll be a bucket full of water to replace the cup, but He said they'd be rewarded for that. In Matthew 25, those who looked after the poor believers and visited them in prison and so on that are mentioned, and they said, when saw we thee and hungered or thirsty or in prison and visited thee? And Jesus said, inasmuch you've done it to the least of these my disciples, you've done it unto me. And they were rewarded for their faithful service to the Lord's people. I find it to be an amazing thing that the one who gives us everything rewards us for using some of what He gives us to honor Him. But that's what these verses say. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God has blessed us with so much, particularly here. What are we doing with that which He has blessed us with? His Word tells us that we should honor Him with it, with what He has given us and with the increase that He gives. He says when we do that, He turns around and He will honor us with more increased blessings in this life and in the one to come. His blessings on us are indisputable, but how about our response? Are we honoring God with our substance, with our increase, individually and as a church? We need to determine and think about, what are we doing with the increase? As God gives increase in our lives, God gives increase in our church, what are we doing with it? I'd say to you tonight, based on this scripture, that we need to honor the Lord with it. And when we do so, he says he will bless us in return. Not always in this life, but he will bless us with great blessing. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we're thankful for this portion of scripture tonight. And Lord, we know that we sometimes wrestle with honoring you with our substance, and even more particularly, Lord, with our increase. And yet, you've been so gracious to us, and Lord, you've given us every good and perfect gift. And so we pray that you'd help us to realize that, Lord, it comes from your hand, and we ought to honor you with it. And I pray that we would be found faithful to do that. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings upon us in so many ways. And Lord, how evident it is that when we honor you with our substance and with our increase, that you turn around and bless us in return. Lord, we know we're not worthy of it, and we don't deserve it, and yet we're so thankful for it. Lord, help us, we pray, to be mindful, Lord, of our things that you've given to us. And Lord, we are thankful that you've given us so many things richly to enjoy. But Lord, may we be willing to distribute, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate with those things as well. Lord, to honor you with it as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to ponder these things tonight. And Lord, even as we sing our hymn of invitation, it may be that some things that we need to talk to you about, whether it's relating to the message specifically or not. And Lord, I pray that we would do that as you speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.